Again, how many is enjoying the cool weather? I am. I know this year for July and August it was hot. And I remember every day on a boat thinking, man, I sure wish I was home right now. And, you know, I can't understand why, you know, if I'm picking a day to come down here fishing, it won't be in July and August. But for some reason, we get a lot of trips in them months. But I definitely don't want to be out there. But I have to. I have to discipline myself to get up every morning and I have a fishing trip and go. And it's just like anything else. We have to discipline ourselves to do it. I want to look at the story again about Moses and the children of Israel. And because it projects a picture of what God has done and continues to do for us. And so we're going to look at that, and we're going to look at a few other things after that. One of the things that the picture that Moses and the children of Israel show us is that he has taken, just like he's taken the children of Israel out of bondage, he's taken us out of bondage. All right, that's one of the similarities. And you may say, bondage to what? Man-made traditions. I mean, we've been learning a lot about that. You know, things that we thought was true and that we thought we seen in a scripture and was scriptural, we come to find out that it's not true. It's not scriptural. It's just things that was taught to us over the years. And instead of us digging and researching for ourselves, we took other people's word for it. And he also, God promised the children of Israel a reward, a promised land. Well, same with us. You know, God promised us a reward, eternal life. That's our promise. He's promised us eternal life. Not to say that he didn't promise them one, but with Moses and the children, he paints a picture for us. Because they'll inherit eternal life too, the ones who made it. But, you know, if you read that story, some of them didn't make it. And they won't experience eternal life. And we'll go over that. The initial company of Israelites who departed from Egypt did so with reluctance. Bad as things were in Egypt, the known seemed better than the unknown to those who lacked faith. During their 40 years of desert wandering, the children of Israel alternately blessed and cursed the name of Yahweh. When he showed them miracles, they humbled themselves. When the tests and rigors of desert life became difficult, they hardened their hearts in anger and resentment. They forgot his power and trembled in fear at the thought of facing the next foe. In so doing, they lost their privilege to enter the land of promise. You know, whenever I read that, it reminds me a lot about me. You know how whenever things are good, you know, we remember how great God is. You know, and then whenever things are going bad, sometimes I fail to realize that God is still good in the bad. Because most of the time I'm in that situation because decisions I made. And I have to remember that. All right, remember the children of Israel. Said that they didn't receive the promise. And if you go back and you look at the story, the reason why they didn't is because they kept doing the same thing over and over and over. And again, I reflect on my life and I'm like, man, thank God for grace. You know, as many times as I kept doing things over and over and over, but he graced me. So the result of them kept doing the same thing over and over. They didn't receive the promise. And again, that's just something to keep in mind. You know, that's something that we should keep in mind. They didn't receive the promise. And again, remember, this is a picture of us. So if they didn't receive the promise, we have to make sure that we're doing everything that we know to do according to the scriptures so that we can receive the promise and we don't, and we're not left out, because we don't have to be. It's up to us. We don't have to be left out. You know, and I, whenever I was going through this, especially this part, I don't know where I don't remember if I heard this on the radio, if I seen it in a movie, but the word conditioning came to mind. And at the time, I remember seeing, I don't remember now, but at the time, I remember where I heard it from. And this is what came to my mind. What am I allowing to condition my mind? You know, because we can be conditioned on certain things. And one of them is friends. You know, we can be conditioned in such a way that the things our friends tell us will be become more important than the things God tells us. TV shows. And this is my opinion of a TV show or TV shows. Soap operas. I believe if you watch them enough, your life becomes a soap opera. That's just my opinion, you know, from what I've seen. News. Everybody knows about the news. Man, you got to be careful. You know, one of the places where I work, every time I go in there, the news is on. And I walked in there one day, and I mean, they just going on and on. And I told the manager, I said, man, I don't know how you not depressed all day and every day. She said, well, why you say that? I said, man, this crazy stuff that's going on the news with, you know. Sports. You know, sometimes I take guys on a boat, and you just say the word sports, and that's it. It'll spark a conversation for the rest of the day. Because they're conditioned by it. And they make decisions based on it, and it affects their decision. That's why it's so important that we care for them what is conditioning us. Because it affects our decision. I remember, I don't know what year it was, but it was some time back. Anyway, I was going to church at the time. And then football season came around. And man, I remember missing church services to watch football games. And actually, it was right before Hurricane Katrina. Because I remember what I did. I stopped watching football for a whole year. And I remember going to pastor's house and all for, you know, once we evacuated in Baton Rouge and football game was on, I wasn't watching it. I was in the other room. Because I wanted to discipline myself and make sure that football wasn't conditioning me because it was affecting my decisions big time. After the year was up, I remember watching the first game, Saints lost. I'm like, man, I ain't been missing nothing. I ain't been missing a thing. Science. We all know about science, stuff we've been learning. We can be conditioned, and we was conditioned by science. We were under the impression that we were being taught facts in school. We'll come to find out a lot of it's not facts. Work. You know, we can be conditioned on what our coworkers think about us. You know, it's not that we don't want them to think highly of us, but at the same time, it shouldn't affect our decision, especially when it comes to the things of God. So what about this? What about allowing the Word of God to condition us? You know, we all know the end result to that. If we allow the Word of God to condition us. Number one, we'll get eternal life. That's good enough for me right there. Eternal life here on planet Earth. That's good. I'm going to stop there because that's good right there. Paul put it this way. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind. So there's a renewing that has to take place. You know, and it's easy to say. You know, I'll renew my mind. I'll read and I'll pray. Well, it's easy to say that. But whenever it comes down to it, are we really doing it? Let's read Joshua 1:8-9. It's in our portion. And he lays out something for us here. Let's go ahead and read it. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So that's an ingredient right there to condition us in a way we should be. Let's look at Joshua 1:18. All right, whenever I read this, it really struck me because I didn't realize who was saying it. And I'm going to go ahead and read it. Whoever rebels against your commandment, and this is the people talking to Joshua. I always thought this was Joshua talking to the people, but it's not. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall... Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Now, you want to talk about accountability. I mean, this is folks that are holding each other accountable for their action because they said it. Not Joshua. The people said it. Whoever don't obey you will be put to death. So that's some serious accountability there. All right, now we're going to compare this picture. All right, we're going to compare it to the one in Matthew 17, verses 1 through 4. Six days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. All right, so we want to compare this to Moses and the children of Israel. All right, here we go. Yahweh took Moses to the top of a mountain to show them the inheritance, the land. All right. Jesus took the disciples to a mountain to show them their inheritance, immortality. Moses represented the believers that would die or sleep before the second coming of Christ. So Moses represents the ones that are dead now. Elijah represented those who will still be alive for the second coming of Christ. The reason why he represents the ones that are still alive, because Elijah never tasted death. He didn't die. The law also came through Moses. The same law Christ followed and obeyed. Elijah also prophesied of the coming of the Messiah. Let's talk about compromising for a minute. You know, it's good to have compromising skills, because not everybody has them. It's definitely a skill set, because not everybody can compromise. All right, but when it comes to the things of God, there's no room for compromising. All right, I'll tell you a story. It was in 2004. It was Thanksgiving Day. I just went through my divorce, and I wanted to compromise with God. So this was my compromise with him. I said, "Father, I'll give you the rest of my life if you let me go out and party one more night." That's what it was. And I don't even have to tell you the end result of it, because you should already know it ain't good. Because you don't make compromises with God like that. I thought everything was good that night until I woke up the next morning and a deputy was at my house to pick me up. So whenever it comes to the things of God, it's not good to compromise. And that's why we can't be conditioned to other things, because compromising sneaks in. And we want to compromise the word of God to appease people. And we can't do that, because it's never going to work. We have to strip ourselves of ourselves to get God's best. You know, that's who gets in the way. You know, we like, you know, I know I do, I like to blame it on Satan, but you know something? It's me. I get in the way. Whatever happens to me, I allow it to happen to me. You remember, for the ones who have babies in here, even the ones who don't, you may have seen this. I've seen it many times. Anyway, you remember watching your baby or somebody else's baby, you know, they holding on, they just beginning to walk, and they holding on to one, and they trying to go to the other one. And I mean, they stretching out, but they just can't seem to reach until they let go of what they holding on to. Y'all been seeing that a lot, huh? That boy's getting big. Until we let go of our own will, How could we expect anything from the Father? We have to let go and move forward to that which the Father has called us to. Let's look at Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witness surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So he's saying we should lay aside all of our burdens. And you know, there's times that it's hard. You know, there's times that we come to church with them, and it's hard, but we have to press through. You know, one of the things I try and practice is clearing my mind before I come to church and be expecting for God to move in my life. Because I believe if we don't expect things, it's not going to happen. We should be expecting, especially when it comes to the things of God, because we read all in the scripture, all the blessings and all the things that he wants to do for us, but we're the ones that hold it back. It's not God. We hold it back. You know, and that scripture says we have to lay aside all our burdens. But there's more. You know, there's more we need to do. And you know, this portion is talking about blessings. And I was going in that direction. But we all know how to receive blessings, right? If I walk up to Jake and say, "Here, Jake, I want to bless you with $100. He knows how to receive that. The problem is getting to that point. That's where the problem comes in. You know, what do we have to do? You know, and Paul talks about running the race. You know, we have to run a race. And that's how we receive eternal life. That's how we receive the blessings, by running the race. So, receiving a prize is the easy part. Again, and we're talking about Hebrews 12:1. What's the hard part? The training. The training is the hard. That's the hardest part for me, is the training. To train myself whenever it comes to the things of God. Training. All right, we're going to look at an example that Paul gives. Paul gives us a recipe to conquer training. Y'all know what I mean by recipe, right? He gives us instructions. I call it recipe. He gives us instructions to conquer training. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 9:23. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. So we're going to look at these scriptures, and we're going to see what Paul's talking about. We want to see what recipe, what instructions he's given us here. Let's look at verse 24 again. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. You know, if you're competing, you're a professional athlete and you're competing, you can't go into it with a loser mindset. You have to go in like you're going to win. And it's the same thing serving God. You know, now we're doing the things of God. If we don't run with a winner's mentality, we run in vain. We have to run with a winner's mentality. Let's look at verse 25. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. You know, I thought about Mardi Gras whenever it came to this verse, because it's unbelievable how much effort goes in to one event. You know, and I was a part of it, you know, years ago. I seen it firsthand how much work and dedication that they give to this one event, and after it's over with, it's done. It's done until the next year. But whenever it comes to the things, again, that's what got me. Whenever it comes to the things of God, why don't I put forward that same effort that these folks are putting forward for eternal life? They have something that's perishable, you know, because once it's done, it's gone. They go back, take the float backstage, they take it apart and get ready for next year. But we an imperishable, you know. And that's what my question was to me. Why in the world don't you put the effort that them folks put into that one event? And here we're talking about eternity with our Creator. And this is how I compared it. You know, when I know I should be reading or spending time with God and I don't. Because we know. Everybody knows when they should be spending time, because He tugs on us. Because He knows how important it is to us. Because we don't know what's going to happen next, but He does. He knows. He don't want us in there just to be in there. He wants us in there to give us word and insight that we need dearly, especially the time that we're living in and the words that we've been given. How many feel like the enemy is just, there's an all-out attack on you? Because He knows how important it is. Why you think there's not more people here tonight? You think it's by coincidence they was doing something? I know why they wasn't here. I know why they're not here. Because the enemy. There's an all-out attack on our church. There's an all-out attack on us as individuals. Let's look at verse 26. In verse 25, I forgot to point it out, but that's the first part of our recipe. Self-control. Remember that. I'll bring it up again, but the self-control is the first part. Verse 26. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. You know, and whenever I read that, I'm like, okay. You know, this is Paul talking, and he's referencing the boxing. And I really didn't know where he was getting these races and all that stuff from, because I never really researched it. But, you know, it goes back to the Olympic Games. Way back then, they were having them. And Paul was around it. So he knew. So he compared this serving God to these games that he was watching. And he seen how brutal they was. Brutal, nothing like we have now. These games was brutal. People dying. You know, so he seen it. He seen how brutal it was. So whenever he says, you know, he's not boxing like boxing the air, I wonder, what in the world is he talking about? You know, he's not boxing the air. He's not boxing the enemy. He's boxing his flesh into submission to the spirit man. That's what he's doing here. And that's what we all have to do. But it's hard. It's not easy. So the next part of the recipe is aim. Aim. Verse 27. But I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be. You know, again, this goes back to the children of Israel. You know, because some of them were disqualified. You know, God made a promise to them, just like he did with us. But we have to stick to our part. You know, we can't just live life any way we want. You know, he lays out a map for us. He lays out rules. He lays out direction. And he lays out laws. And we have to follow them. And that's where the children of Israel went wrong. And we don't want to do that. You know, we want our inheritance, eternal life. So the next recipe, part of the recipe, is discipline. And this is the recipe to conquer training. Self-control. Get yourself under control. Let me explain to you what I mean. You ever seen this movie where somebody walked up to another person and grabbed them and say, "Get a hold of yourself!" Slapped them a couple times. Well, you know, sometimes I got to do that to myself. Am I the only one? Sometimes I got to get control of myself. Right? All right, aim. Aim. You're pointing your aim for your quiet spot. We all should have one. Right? You're pointing your aim for that quiet spot. I know it's right there. I know. And here's the tough one. All right? Let's go over them again. Get control of yourself. Number one. That could be tough to do. It might take 5 or 6 slaps, sometimes 10 for me. But eventually I get it. I get control of myself, and I aim for the quiet spot. And then I have to discipline myself to go there. Because it ain't just going to happen. You're not going to wake up one day and say, "Boy, you know something? I'm going to be on fire. If I'm going to read 2 hours today," and it ain't going to fall out of the sky. Paul said he had to discipline himself. And if we do that, then them days will come where, you know something, we can't wait to find our quiet spot and spend some time with God. But until we start doing that, it ain't never going to happen, because it ain't falling out of the sky. You're not going to wake up one day and want to do it if you don't want to do it now. We have to discipline ourselves. whenever it comes to the things of God. But here's the thing, they have benefits in it. There's blessings in it. Because God, Lord, on our best day, we don't know what's best for us. I know I don't. I don't have a clue. But the Father does. He knows. He knows what's best. He knows what we need, and he knows when we need it. Even though we think it's late, it's never late. He's always on time. Why shouldn't he be? He's Yahweh. He knows it all. Well, I didn't plan that. Just happened. Anyway, we serve an incredible God. Be in prayer for everybody, and be in prayer for our community. You know, our community really needs prayer. There's things going on here that I can tell you. Whenever I was back doing my thing, I never thought I would see the things that's going on now. Never. Didn't cross my mind. But I'm seeing things here in our parish that it's not good. It's not good, and it's only getting worse. But you know something? Prayer can change it. You know, and look, this parish is nobody else's responsibility but ours. It's our responsibility. All this stuff is happening on our watch. So we have to do something about it. Even if it's just kneeling down every night and making sure that you cover this parish in your prayers. That's enough right there. But there's other things we can do. Be active. You know? Well, yeah. Well, thanks for coming out, everybody. Love y'all.